Hello. Welcome to a new dialogue. I'm your host, Barbara Joseph, and I just want to thank you for being here. I took the month of June off, and the reason for that is because I just wanted to purge myself from social media. So I didn't do any TikTok videos, and I was in this group chat. I stopped posting in there. I stopped reading it. I actually deleted the app. And when I was ready to come back, which was in August, I was able to, just re-engage. And I think it was so necessary for me to just purge myself from the constant scrolling, constant engagement in social media. Now, I will be honest, I kept my YouTube, but even that, I minimized how much I was on it because you'd be surprised how consumed you can be with these social media apps. And it's really, in my opinion, it's just a distraction. Like if you're bored, if you don't have anything exciting going in your life, you don't know how to really enjoy your own time with yourself, you tend to lean on to that. And so I'm always mindful, like, what am I really leaning on for boredom, for entertainment? Is it a person? Is it a thing? Like, what is taking too much of your time? And why? Why are you doing that? So I'm back, and my goal is to record these every week, a different topic, but I do what I can. I mean, I'm under no obligation to continue this recording. If you get benefit from it, I'm grateful. But as I didn't sign a contract, say I will do it. If I can do it, I'll do it. But I have other priorities most of the time, so I do what I can. And so we're continuing our talk with specific words. And the word that I'm going to share with you today is a very interesting word, and it's called sorry. The Oxford Dictionary, it de defines sorry as feeling pity or distress, feeling regret or repentance, wretched or pitiful. So it's this person just a sorry person. That's what they mean. But for typically, in the context of what I'm explaining to you, is feeling pity or distress, feeling regret or repentance. One of the things I've come to realize, the wiser you become, the more understanding you become, you start looking at things differently. Sorry is not a word that I often use. And the reason for that is because I'm usually not in the wrong. Like, I don't do things intentionally to hurt people. I don't do things intentionally to attack someone. It's usually in retaliation. But the problem is not what you are intentionally doing, is what you unintentionally do. And I think sometimes we hurt people unintentionally. We dismiss their feelings unintentionally. We just ignore them or do something that's unintentionally causing them harm. And when we come to that realization, whether or not I was intentional or unintentional, the point is it caused you pain. And therefore, I feel regret and I should repent. There's pity or distress. So how did this conversation come to light, Barbara? When did you realize that sorry is something that you need to really be mindful of? Well, when I went in the military in 2006, it was all about me. I needed to get out of New York. I just needed to go. But it didn't occur to me that there were people who were going to miss me. I was in a relationship with a guy, and I didn't get his opinion on how he would feel about me leaving or anything. I just he knew I was gonna go, and I went. Never occurred to him that it never occurred to me that this could be heartbreaking. It never occurred to me that, when you miss someone, it hurts almost. And the reason why it never occurred to me because I never missed anyone. I never really missed anyone. I was like, if I see you, I see you. And it was a wall that I had. I've had a wall up for a long time where I've become immune to emotions. Like I would cry, but it wasn't crying because I felt remorse or I felt sad. It was just because that's what the situation came, and I was just really hard. And so it never dawned on me that this person could really miss you, Barbara. This person hurting because they missed you. And since I had never felt that way until recently, someone who's leaving, they're going to do what they need to do, and just thinking about missing that person. The person's still here, but I missed them already. I missed them already, and it just it dawned on me how the emotion of missing someone can really hurt. Even though they're doing what they need to do, even though they're not trying to hurt you, it's not intention, it's what they have to do, you still miss them. And I had to join the military. I had to join the military. There was no other way for me to live in New York. I had to join the military, but it never dawned on me. My youngest siblings, how they would miss me. How we would never have that bond again. Even if I were to move back to New York, there were so many things that I missed out. I would never be a part of, and they would never be a part of me. And so that created distance. But I never realized, I'm sorry I gotta go. I'm sorry that I'm causing you pain. I'm sorry that our lives are never going to be the same. It never registered to me until I started to feel that emotion of how it is to miss someone. To take them for granted is so easy, but when you think about how much you're going to miss them if they're not around, how you're not going to be able to pick up the phone and just show up there. You know, when people pass away, you sense that you miss them, but what about when they're alive? They're alive, they're here, but you don't feel like you miss them. You take them for granted. And so God is showing me, Barbara, don't take people for granted. Appreciate them while they're here. Don't take them for granted. And I'm not talking about people die, but sometimes you just miss somebody. You know, you don't realize how much you miss someone. You could be with someone for all day, and the minute they're gone, you miss them. You're like, oh my gosh, they were here with me all day, but now I miss them. And I hadn't really felt that emotion before. A lot of times it was like, good riddance, you know. Good riddance. I'm like, goodbye. Could you leave, please? But now I'm starting to realize how important it is to miss people and appreciate them. Don't take them for granted. Don't nitpick on them and harass them because they're here, because one day they may not be here. They may not be here. So enjoy every moment and realizing that I just abandoned people. I just left them. It makes me feel sorry now. I have pity. I have remorse. I have regret. And it just hurts me to know I didn't have that awareness that, Barbara, there are people who miss you. And you just leave. You just cut them off. You don't even say goodbye. You don't do anything. That hurts. That hurts them. That hurts them. Sadly, I had to feel that in order for me to understand. And I pray that what I'm sharing with you is something that you wouldn't take for granted. Everybody you have in your life, they may decide to go live on the other side of the world. It's not always about people dying. They may decide that, you know what, this is not the life for me. I gotta go. And you miss them. You miss being able to call them. You miss being able to just, hey, what are you doing? Let's go have lunch. Or being on the same time zone with them. One of the things I don't like now, I don't like being on a different time zone for my family. They're all in New York. They're on the East Coast. I'm not moving anywhere where we're now on a different time zone. I'm determined about that. Everybody's moving to Houston, Texas. It seems to be the wave. I'm not going there because we're in a different time zone. I don't like it. I feel like I'm disconnected. I've done that. I've been very fortunate. I lived in the Pacific time zone. I lived in the mountain time zone. I lived in the central time zone. Now I'm on the East Coast. I'm not leaving. I don't want to be in a different time zone. I don't want to be in a different time zone for my family, even though I don't talk to them every day. But I just don't want to be in the same, a different time zone. I don't want them to be ahead of me, and I don't want them to be behind me. I want us to be on the same time zone. If it's 1:32 here, that means it's 1:32 over there. So just little things that I would often take for granted. God is making me realize, Barbara, don't make people miss you. And if they're reaching out to you, don't be a jerk. Hurt their feelings, like make them feel bad. And I used to do that. I was like, now I have people messaging me. And the conversations are about nothing, but I respond as if I'm just happy to hear from them because I don't want to hurt their feelings and make them feel bad for reaching out to me. And I think when you get wisdom, and the Bible says, seek knowledge, seek wisdom, seek understanding, wisdom does something different to you. How you show up in the world, how you interact with people, wisdom show up and changes your life. People who have a hard time saying sorry and actually mean it, it's because they lack wisdom. They lack compassion too, but mostly they lack wisdom because they don't know how powerful that is, being able to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I left you. I'm sorry I didn't connect with you. I didn't tell you what was going on. I'm sorry I didn't communicate with you. I'm sorry for doing that to you. The Bible always encourages you to repent. There's a story in the book of 2 Kings or 1 Kings, I don't remember which one, but King Ahab, he is the husband of Queen Jezebel. King Ahab wanted a land. He went to his neighbor and said, "Hey, give me this land, I'll pay you full price for it." The neighbor tells King Ahab, "I can't sell you this land. The land is an inheritance. I can't sell it to you." So King Ahab, understanding that he can't sell the inheritance, he gets sad, he gets upset, he doesn't eat, and he's just moping around. So Queen Jezebel says, "You know, what's going on? Why are you sad? He won't eat, you know, and people don't eat, that you should assign problems, you know, there's a sickness there. Even an animal, if you have a cat or a dog and they eat, that's a clear sign something's wrong." So King Ahab doesn't eat. Queen Jezebel finds out why. He tells Queen Jezebel, "Well, the neighbor, Nabon or Naboth, won't sell me his land." But he fails to mention the reason why he's not selling me the land is because it's inheritance. So Queen Jezebel, being the woman that she is, take charge, decides to get rid of the neighbor. She colludes with the town. The guy gets stoned. He dies. And Queen Jezebel comes back to her husband, King Ahab, and says, "Hey, you can have the land now." But here's what the God does. God sends a prophet and says, "Go tell the King Ahab, I've seen the wickedness that he's done. You got an innocent man killed for greed." God does not like coveting. God does not like coveting. If you remember David with Bathsheba, God does not like coveting. If it's yours, it's yours. But do not want other people's stuff or get them in an ill way. So God does not like coveting. So God tells King Ahab through the prophet, "I've seen what you've done and you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. You are going to pay for it." And so King Ahab, he remorses, he repents. And God sees that. He says, "Do you see that he repent?" Because King Ahab got sad, he put his sackcloth on, he repented to show that what he has done was evil. Even though he was serving Baal, but he had enough sense to repent. To repent. So God said, "You know what? I see that you repent. I won't do the destruction on you, but it'll be on your sons." So eventually God got even with his sons. All his sons died. But the point is, he was able to repent. He was sorry. You need wisdom to be sorry. You need wisdom because if you're sorry, you're able to see, okay, maybe I don't want to do that again. If you remember my first video, when I came back, I apologized. I told you, you know, I have a habit of just cutting people off, going about my business, never considering the fact that maybe they're wondering what happened to me. There are people who are suffering from abandonment wounds because somebody just left them. They didn't have answers. They didn't have anything. They didn't know what was going on. They probably assumed the problem was them. But if you can articulate, say, "You know, it's nothing to do with you. I just got my own stuff going on, and I'm sorry that, you know, I can't really be there for you." If you get in the habit of talking to people and telling them, "I'm sorry," because you got to look at yourself from their shoes. You got to look at yourself from their perspective. How would you feel? But wisdom, you need wisdom in order to think like that. You need wisdom. You need wisdom, and wisdom comes from God. But when you get wisdom, it changes your life. Being able to tell someone you're sorry is not to soften the blow, because if it's going to hurt, it's going to hurt. But it's to make peace. It's to make atonement. Oxford Dictionary explains atonement as make amends for a fault. Being able to acknowledge that you were at fault is a great sign of maturity. Make amendment for a fault. "I'm sorry that I said that and it hurt your feelings. I'm sorry I wasn't there for you when you needed me. I'm sorry that I had to be focused on my own needs and couldn't cater to yours at the same time. I'm sorry you got attached to me, but I don't feel this relationship is beneficial for both of us. I'm sorry I gotta let you go. I'm sorry. There are so many relationships that have been broken, misunderstood, because both parties failed to have the wisdom to see how important that word sorry is. I just pray that as you listen to this, if there is someone you need to make atonement with, whether you want to physically do it or just in your mind apologize to them, I would encourage you to do that. Maybe they forgot and never thought about it. They just went about their lives, but you know about it. God convicted you. Say it. I'm sorry I did that to you. Please forgive me. You don't have to go write letters. People, sometimes you may want to do something externally. You want to come to that person and your response is not well received. What I would encourage you to do is bring them to your mind's eye. Close your eyes and imagine you're sitting there with that person. Imagine you are talking to that person and say, you know what? I'm sorry when I joined the Air Force. I didn't think about how it would make you feel, how you would miss me. I didn't say goodbye. I didn't give you a chance to see me off. I'm sorry for that. And I don't know what kind of pain it might have caused, but I just pray that we can move forward in a better format. Just do that. Do that for whoever it is that you would like to say sorry to. Just bring them to your mind's eye. I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry. Because that sorry could be all they needed to have the peace that they don't have now. Just say, I'm sorry. If you mean it, mean it. If you say it, mean it. Mean it. Whether they accept it or not, saying I'm sorry can change so much. But remember, I said the way for you to be able to say I'm sorry is to have wisdom, being able to see your fault, being able to see what it is that you didn't do right. You need wisdom for that. And that wisdom comes from God. So maybe you need to say sorry to God. Maybe you need to say, sorry, God, I've never reached out to you. I'm sorry I ignored your counsel. I've never put you in a position to guide me and lead me. Lord, I'm sorry for that. Repent. King Ahab was able to repent and his life was turned around. Maybe you need to repent. Say, I'm sorry. And your life will be turned around. Maybe that's the missing piece to why you're not where you want to be. The pieces are not falling together because you are not able to make amends. You're not able to see your faults. You're not able to let things go. You got to be able to say, I'm sorry. And the only way for you to do that is through wisdom.